Oklahoma State Hall of Fame inductee and operatic soprano Sarah Coburn takes center stage in this Inside OSU podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Inside OSU podcast. I'm your host, Megan Robinson, and I am inside the McKnight Center with OSU alum, 2018 Oklahoma State Hall of Fame inductee, and soprano Sarah Coburn. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
You are back at your alma mater. How does it feel to be back in Stillwater?
It feels great. I just ran across the street and thought, oh my goodness, I'm back in college after I parked my car and ran over here. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, how many years ago was that? I don't want to say. Feels great to be back.
And before we get into your upcoming performances and master classes, we're going to stay in college mode a little bit. Do you have a favorite memory from your time as a student here at OSU?
You know, if I think about my time as a student in the School of Music, I would say my favorite time was being a part of the chamber choir, and we would do these madrigal dinners at the student union at Christmas time in costumes with jesters and greenery and a big boar's head, and we would sing these beautiful, beautiful songs. I think that would probably be one of my favorite memories.
Back in 2014, you were part of a Night of Orange and Black at Oklahoma
yes.
State.
Yes.
And that night sort of helped kickstart the new Performing Arts Center
right.
space at Oklahoma State. And now we're back in McKnight, the finished product. What does it mean to get the opportunity to perform here now, what you started 7-8 years ago and now in the finished product?
It's amazing. It's surreal walking up to the front of the building. It's gorgeous. It's, you know, it's kind of shocking to see it on campus. It's wonderful. I mean, I'm thrilled to be invited to come back. I'm sorry it took so long to get back with all the rescheduling, but I mean, it's amazing to walk in this building and see just the state-of-the-art performance hall that it is.
Do you remember your first time coming to McKnight after its completion?
I've never been here.
This is your first time here?
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this is your first time
right.
in
Right, I just walked
building.
In. It's beautiful. It's fabulous. I can't
oh
wait to see the rest.
Oh my gosh. That just makes this even more exciting. Like, what are your emotions right now thinking about where you sang in college and that venue compared to this?
Well, you know, I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen pictures, but I think it's going to be great. The Sarantine Center has wonderful memories for me, but in terms of a concert hall, it really wasn't ideal. And I think that this is going to attract, it already has attracted musicians to come in and perform, but it's going to attract students to want to come to a school with this kind of facility. It's pretty top notch.
You were inducted into Oklahoma State's Hall of Fame in 2018, which is a huge honor. What did that mean to you when you got the call?
Yeah, I still don't get it. I don't understand. It was a huge honor, and to be among the people that were up there that night, it just felt surreal. It was wonderful. I love OSU, and I think it's the real foundation of my musical education and experience. When I went out into the world of performing, I saw a lot of students who had kind of coasted their way through the academic parts of their degrees because they just focused on performance. And I think that OSU really gave me a foundation for musicality and scholarship and just being a well-rounded student in general. And I really am thankful for that.
You are also doing a residency while you're here
yes.
this week in Stillwater. And when I think of a music residency, I think of performers in Vegas. But what exactly, you know, you have a residency at one of the resorts, the hotels in Vegas, but this is different.
This is much different
this
than
this is
that.
More educational. But for
yes.
those who aren't as familiar with this type of residency, what is it?
It's partnering with the faculty and partnering with the students, just kind of as a visiting coach in a way, but I don't consider myself a voice teacher, really. I don't spend that much time teaching voice. I'm just hoping to relay some of my experiences, maybe some technical things, but you can't do that in such a short time. You can't really impart something new. The voice is such a complex instrument, and so it takes time. It's a very individual thing. It's a very personal thing. So my hope is that I can inspire freedom and letting go of perfectionism and those kinds of things, the more of the psychological parts of singing while I'm here. If there are technical breakthroughs while we're here, if I have something that I could add, I'm thrilled. But I think it's basically just kind of sharing what my experience has been in the real world out there performing for 20 years.
One of the classes that you're teaching or the workshops that you're hosting is how to handle performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a performer how you are, but still when you're in front of the camera, you are performing to an extent. So what tips do you have or can you give away right now that are sort of key to handling anxiety or the overall big picture message?
You know, I think most research is me search. And I think that when that's why I'm doing this, because I've struggled with performance anxiety for decades. So I've done a lot of work on it. I've gotten counseling for it. I've read tons of books on it. I went back to school to get a master's in counseling. So I really do think about it a lot. And I think that it's really interesting when we learn about the power we have over our own thoughts and what that does even physiologically when we change our thinking. We can see people's brains on MRIs changing their thoughts. It's crazy. So that kind of stuff I'd like to share if we have time.
What's your overall message to students about performance anxiety?
I would say there's no one more miserable than an imperfect perfectionist. So choose some joy. Life is short. Get a therapist. Figure yourself out. Have something else going on in your life besides performance. And, you know, just enjoy the gift that God gave you.
What is your favorite part about getting to work with students and teach masterclasses?
That I'm not the one on the other side. It's really difficult to be on stage in a masterclass setting. It is really, truly the nightmare of being naked on stage because you're being undone in front of an audience. You're supposed to come up and feel polished and your presentation is there, and then you have someone who's been paid to come in and tear you apart and basically build you back up in 15 minutes, and that is really scary. So I do not envy them on that side of this. I'm going to be very gentle and try to make it fun and light. But yeah, my favorite part is just not being on the other side.
You said you don't get to distill water too often. Is there anything while you're here that you want to do or any restaurant to return to?
You know, I'm a big nerd. When I have a performance, I pretty much hole up in my hotel room and stay quiet as much as I possibly can. I have some studying to do and just some work to do, so I'm probably going to just enjoy the peace and quiet of being in a hotel room just for a night and let my husband take care of the kids.
For a full schedule of events at the McKnight Center for the Performing Arts, visit mcknightcenter.org. And for more Inside OSU podcasts, like, share, and subscribe. That's all we have for this episode. I'm Megan Robinson. Thanks for listening.